Hello and welcome to Agents of Nonprofit. My name is Alexander Lapa, and I'm here to speak with everyday superheroes helping nonprofits. Joining me today is Roshanda Williams to talk about BIOC social impact organizations. Roshanda, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Alex.
So for people who are hearing you for the first time, I was hoping you could share your superhero origin story.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm not sure if I'm a superhero. I'm probably more of the person behind the desk, the Ned to the Spider-Man, so to speak, helping the superheroes. But I created a company, Collective Impact, and we work with BIPOC-led nonprofits to help them create sustainable organizations to advance their mission and create jobs and ultimately impact their community. My love for nonprofits started as a young child. I had the privilege and was very blessed to experience amazing organizations in my local community. And that kind of planted the seed for me loving social impact organizations to begin to create a business to help serve them.
We've already used the term BIOC a couple of times, BIPOC, I'm sorry. I was wondering if we could, just for the listeners who don't or are not familiar with that term, if we could give a definition of that term, please.
Absolutely. So BIPOC is an acronym for Black Indigenous People of Color.
Okay. So we're talking about BIOC-led organizations. And I guess to get started for this conversation, what are the challenges that are specific to BIPOC-led organizations as opposed to ones that are not?
Yes. So capacity building, access to resources. So BIPOC-led nonprofits, that means that the executive, the founder is Black, Indigenous, or a person of color, right? So those organizations are definitely grassroots organizations. But however, they have the heart for the community. They are directly embedded into the community. However, they don't get the resources that they need to grow their organizations. So a lot of BIPOC-led nonprofit organizations are self-funded by the founders. And that's crazy when you think of it, because these people have a heart for the community. They saw a problem. They decided to roll up their sleeves and do the work. However, they are ultimately sacrificing their own livelihood as well, because they're working a 9-to-5 or maybe multiple jobs to fund this community solution. So that is why we do what we do. We help BIPOC-led nonprofits get access to the resources, capacity building. We help them with fundraising. Internally, we do a lot of project management, because a lot of these BIPOC executives and founders, they have great ideas. They have the heart to solve whatever social cause that they're working towards, but they don't have the time or the expertise to actually see that idea to completion. So we help them with that. And then it's a two sides to this coin as well, right? Because funders, they are investing when a grant foundation gives an organization a grant funding, they are investing in that organization to see whatever the goals, that area of focus, come to fruition, right? This partnership, right? So a lot of the funders are looking for organizations that have a diverse funding portfolio, that have made a significant impact, tangible impact in their communities. However, BIPOC-led organizations are at a disadvantage because, again, they're self-funding. They don't have the resources to grow to make more impact. So then when they do get the time or the resources to apply for a grant, the grants are so competitive, then they're not selected, right? So there's two sides to this coin. So we like to say that we help BIPOC organizations overcome internal barriers and external barriers. So the internal barriers is the lack of strategy, the lack of resources, the lack of time, the lack of project management. And then the external barriers will be like a philanthropic redlining, right? So that is what we do for Collective Impact, specifically serving BIPOC-led nonprofit organizations.
You were kind enough to share some resources with me so I can ask better questions. If I remember correctly, one of the points in that article talked about how BIOC-led organizations tend to have a much smaller budget, to your point, because they're self-funded, even up to or as little as $30,000 a year. Mm. That's unfortunately scarily low. And, you know, what can they do to, I mean, I guess it's about finding additional funders, about finding grants, but I imagine these are people who are very passionate about what they're trying to do. To your point, holding down multiple jobs to be able to fund this organization, you know, how do they make themselves more attractive to funders? How do they become more eligible or more likely to win a grant?
Great question, Alex. So it's very interesting. Usually when I have a consultation with an aspiring nonprofit leader, my goal is to actually talk them out of starting a nonprofit organization. And I know that sounds crazy, but there are a lot of amazing organizations, BIPOC-led organizations that are already established. So what they need is, you know, individuals bringing their skills to bear to help build those organizations. Instead of starting a new organization, partner with a already formed organization, and then you can help it grow, right? So one thing that I always say too is when we get them in the beginning is take the time to do your research, do your due diligence, find what that gap is in the community so that you can understand it more, you can focus on it more, and then ultimately you can communicate that to others to get involved with the mission. So definitely taking time to do the strategic, the research and development. No one loves research. Research is the foundation of everything, right? But taking that time to do that, to understand your target audience, to understand your community so that you can find your area to fill that gap so that we don't have the thousandth, you know, mentorship nonprofit organization, right? How can your organization differ from the ones locally? Where is that need missing? So another challenge is that because they're self-funding, it's a lot of putting out fires. So they don't have the space or the time to get in front of the issue. They're always trying to play catch up. So taking that time away from serving the community for an extended period of time. Now, this is for the organizations who are already established. That 1 to 3 year is kind of where we find this issue. They're so busy, you know, hosting events and doing the work when they just need to take a step back from doing the work and actually create the foundations that's needed to grow the organizations would be one of the major things that I would say, because a lot of nonprofits fail, and this is BIPOC and non-BIPOC nonprofits, for the lack of strategic planning and leadership as well. So get that time to get the skills, the coaching, so that you can be a better leader to lead a board, to communicate that vision, and then also the strategic planning so that you can get a strong foundation that you can grow from, and then also you know what you're doing, you can communicate that to stakeholders.
You mentioned that funders are looking for, as they're investing, they're looking for diversity and looking to create an impact. I imagine by, as a founder, you know, waving that flag to say, yeah, we are BIPOC-led, we are, you know, can help. We have a great impact, but we need your help to have a greater impact. Imagine this is in combination with getting your foundation settled, your strategic planning settled. Like it's a formula where you have to have, you know, many levers you can play with, And I guess there's a matter of just adjusting one for the other in order to seem attractive or more attractive on a whole.
Yes, I agree. I agree. And utilizing technology as well. We kind of talked about it earlier that part of the being under-resourced is a astounding amount of the BIPOC-led nonprofits are volunteer-led. So there's not a dedicated staff to train, to grow, and to focus on certain areas. So absolutely, to different levers to play with. Find that sweet spot.
You mentioned systems. That's actually a very precious topic to me as well, because I think with great technology, with great systems, one person can magnify their output. Is there any particular system that you have in mind that you normally recommend to say, look, in order to scale as much as possible, at least to have the maximum output for the few resources that you do have, here is what I recommend. You know, this kind of system, that kind of system, this kind of process, this kind of automation, maybe AI. Is there a particular combination or toolkit of things that you recommend?
Oh, absolutely. So we use ClickUp. I'm a fan of ClickUp, just a project management tool, because again, it's volunteer led, right? So just having this one database with all the information, just giving access to who needs access when, and then being able to track that, that breaks down, it breaks down the opportunity for things to be lost in communication, right? Because it's all in this one platform. Definitely AI. You can automate so many things. I kind of fuss at some of our community nonprofits because sometimes I will make a donation to their organization and then there's no automated email like, hey, thanks for your contribution, right? So just those little things can help develop relationships with not just your community, your stakeholders, your volunteers, your boards as well. And it can be automated. And that's one of the things that we help to set up for our BIPOC-led nonprofit organizations, are setting up those automations, right? So that the organization can run like a well-oiled machine when you're not actually there, right? Definitely incorporating a lot of technology and then having a one database with all the information, right? Somebody has it's in somebody's email inbox, right? So I have this document, but if somebody has it in their inbox, you know, we don't think about all the time that is wasted, like looking for things. But if it's all in one place, you can definitely make the most of the time that you do have when it's strategic and it's a focused task.
I wanted to circle back on project management because you mentioned that as a concern as well for these organizations. Is there any particular or any specific challenges for BIOC-led that maybe are not necessarily as much of an issue, let's say, for organizations that are not BIPOC-led?
No, I think it's just the nonprofit sector in general, right? Because you have so many people doing so many things, wearing so many different hats, that things are lost in translation, things aren't communicated, balls are dropped, right? And I think that project management in whole is something that can be better in the nonprofit sector in general. But specifically for BIPOC-led nonprofit organizations, these are grassroots organizations, right? So a large majority of these founders, they don't have experience in nonprofit sector, even business, right? Having that business mindset, understanding that a nonprofit is still a business, but it just has a tax exempt status, and running the organization as such, right? So not just focusing on the fun stuff like the events and the social media, but also taking time to dedicate to the administrative and the operational side of it. It's definitely an ongoing project. It's so important, but it sometimes gets neglected.
Yeah, I typically see this as a common problem for a lot of nonprofits starting off, where they're very passionate, very eager, but they just don't have, they need a team or at least some kind of resources around them to be able to help amplify their goodwill into actual tangible impacts.
Yes.
And like you said, systems are in place. You mentioned lack of resources. I imagine it's not just a financial resource. I mean, is there any other, what examples of other resources can be or are found to be lacking with BIPOC-led?
And again, going back to, you know, they are the boots on ground in the community, right? They're doing the events. They're building these relationships in the community. However, that time is not allocated to developing relationships with other organizations, with the grant funders. So a lot of doing the work, but not developing relationships. So I would say developing relationships, definitely effective communication, right? Because we're all communicating, right? We got social media, we got emails, we have everything that's constantly communicating to us. But effective communication is definitely a leadership skill, personal development that is often lacking in the BIPOC-led organizations.
Are there any recommendations that you have? This might be a bit of an odd question, but if you are a BIPOC-led organization and you want to reach people of, you know, all diversity, is there any particular strategies that you have, or do you normally find that if you are more BIPOC-led that you tend to stay in the more BIPOC community? Like, are there strategies or techniques to build relationships cross diversity, basically, is my question.
Oh, yes, definitely. Because even though it may be a BIPOC-led nonprofit organization, diversity is still needed, right? And not just diversity of race, gender, but diversity of thought, right? Mm-hmm. So having a board of directors, a set of volunteers that have a different way of thinking and looking at things is so important. You know, conflict resolution, conflict management is another thing that I would say all nonprofits need assistance with. But conflict just means two varying opinions on a matter, right? So not looking at it in a negative way, but okay, so this is what you bring to the table. This is how you see it. How can we meet that middle ground? So definitely developing relationships in the community and also leveraging their networks, resources, right? So leveraging the relationships that their stakeholders, their board, their volunteers have in the community as well is very, very important as well.
I'm curious then, if you had a magic wand, you know, you had the ability to make wishes, which, you know, who wouldn't? Mm-hmm. What would you say would be the one wish you would have to be able to impact a BIPOC-led organization to have the greatest impact? Like, is there one particular challenge you see time and time again that you say, man, I just wish I could just fix this problem for you, because that would unblock you and allow you to have so much larger of an impact? Or is it, like we said earlier, where it's just a matter of a whole bunch of levers and you're just applying pressure or small adjustments to each of these levers and all together creates the large impact? Or is there one lever that, oh man, that's the lever to push, that's the one to pull, and if we got that one, then the rest, you know, are easier?
Oh, yes. Ooh, that's I'm going to wait for my wand too, Alex. I'm going to be expecting that. So I know we're speaking about BIPOC-led nonprofits, but I think this is across the whole sector, is to, when I wave this wand that I'm waiting for, that there would be a shift in the mindset. I believe that is the part that affects all those different levers, right? Just that openness and the way you think about it. So I personally like to say social impact organizations. I don't like to say not for profit because I believe that, you know, just that has a negative connotation that people think that, okay, we're just supposed to help people and we're supposed to just, you know, give, give, give. We're supposed to operate on a shoestring budget. We got to keep overhead to a certain percentage. We have to show the community and the funders that we're not just, you know, we're stewarding this money well, and that's all important, the stewardship of it. However, just this mindset of scarcity, of lack, is what's preventing a lot of organizations from teaming up together, collaborating, because what funds are available are super competitive, right? And it's like, oh, our organization has to get this money. We can't help them when the overarching goal is to serve the community, right? So that mindset that there's not enough to go around, that we have to be solely dependent on grants and donations, and not understanding that, again, a nonprofit is a business with a tax-exempt status. It should still operate as a business. And then with that abundant mindset, then you are able to be more attractive to these college students who are coming out of college, have all this wealth of information that they're just ready and just passionate and ready to use, then you're making the nonprofit sector more attractive to high talent, because then you can pay them what they're worth. And it's not one person doing 9 million jobs wearing 50,000 hats. And it's kind of expected. Oh, we're a nonprofit. Oh, of course, you know, we fill in the blank, right? And I get it. And we've been conditioned to believe that way. But if we shift that one thing, we can be more competitive. You don't want a fresh college graduate coming out like, okay, do I choose a corporate job when I make over six figures and live comfortably and just donate to nonprofits? Or do I take this skill and this all of this amazingness and take it to the nonprofit sector where I'm going to make less than, you know, the living, you know, and to struggle, but struggle in is an honor because I'm working for a nonprofit. Like it doesn't make sense. So I said a lot, but just changing that mindset that a nonprofit has to struggle, that scarcity mindset, to a more abundant mindset, I think would change the world, Alex.
I'm actually a witness of this myself. My wife is going through a shift in her mindset, and it's amazing to see the transformation that's happening before my eyes. Mm. I never thought it was so impactful. To especially, I'm happy you called out that abundance mindset as well, in that it's not to say if you believe it, it'll happen, but almost. Like, it's, you have to, of course, do the work behind it. It's not just a hopes and dreams and cross your fingers and something will happen, but believing that something is possible is really one of the biggest first steps, because if you kind of don't, you're already limiting yourself in what is possible. Mm-hmm. And just having that mindset of saying, no, this is all good. We can do this. We got this. You know, here we go, let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and have an optimistic perspective is huge, truly huge. So I'm happy you said that, because I completely agree and I see it firsthand.
Yeah, and because it's an openness too. When you're operating from abundant mindset, there's an openness. Say, okay, I can have more, but I'm lacking in this area. So let me invest, whether it's the time, the money, whatever, in this particular area so that there could be an improvement so that I can get to the goal, right? So yeah, absolutely. It's not just, you know, thinking happy thoughts, but it's also being open to, okay, this is an area that needs help. Where can I get the help? How is that going to get me to the next level? And then execute again.
So in continuing with the trend of positivity, we've talked a bit about some of the negative parts or the challenges, let's say, that BIPOC-led organizations have. Are there any advantages to being BIPOC-led? I imagine there's the one that I can think of off the top of my head. We kind of spoke about how certain funders are looking for that kind of diversity they're looking for. And I'm happy to see more and more criteria when you're searching for things, you know, that it is a BIPOC-led organization or trans or some other diversity-enabled organization. But are there other benefits, I mean, that a BIPOC-led organization have that non-BIPOC-led organizations have?
Well, I think, again, it's the same, but it just has, it's just different. So I would say representation matters. So with the BIPOC-led organization, you have this funder of these, this founder who is active in a community that they came from, right? So it kind of changes that narrative. Okay, so you come from this certain kind of community. These are your options, right? So it's creating exposure to others, BIPOC individuals, right? That, hey, yeah, I may have came from this situation, because a lot of the organizations that we work with specifically, they have been impacted directly or indirectly by the cause that they are created this organization to solve, right? So I may have, you know, come from a fatherless home, but I see this individual who also came from a fatherless home, but he's in the community doing great things and he didn't go down this path. So it changes the narrative in the community, like, hey, you are not where you come from, and you still have opportunities available to you if you do the work, if you develop relationships, this is available to you as well. So I think that the representation is very, very important for BIPOC-led organizations to just change the narrative to the community that, hey, you don't have to be a victim to your circumstances. You can roll up your sleeves and do the work to solve this problem.
I don't know if that's the, there's a term I'm thinking of, I can't quite get my head around it. It's basically people in general are more prone to listening to someone else's opinion, even if it's slightly different, if there's some commonality between them. You know, if it's a stranger telling you you should be doing something, you're more likely to say, you know, buzz off. But if it's a friend or someone you trust already, and they introduce you to a new idea, you're much more likely to listen, digest it, and then maybe take action on it. Is that what you mean by representation? Because it kind of sounds similar, but I'm not sure I'm speaking the same thing.
Well, that is definitely a component of it, right? Because, hey, you look like me. You came from the same community that I came from, right? So if you're saying this, and I'm not just you're saying it, I'm seeing the fruit of what you're saying, right? Then, hey, I can do it too. So absolutely.
Because I imagine that, unfortunately, there are still certain divides, and you're visibly different than I am. And I come to you with this message of saying, I can help you. I don't think you'll be as inclined to accept or to be as trusting and to be open to receiving the help than someone who's kind of gone through the similar challenges or similar benefits in life who are more like me, for example. So I think that's one way that, especially there's a, I would answer my own question by saying, if they can tap into that, if no matter what kind of organization you are, if you can tap into that uniqueness of you to be able to find your own similar people, at least start from there, maybe, that can really help amplify what you're trying to achieve, because you will have maybe an easier time than with those who are more different than you. Of course, you want to get to there if they're in your community as well. You want to be able to have that. But at least starting from somewhere might be able to be a benefit, which is the answer to my question.
Yeah. And it's relational equity, right? That's what it's really about. It's relationship. Because again, we have diversity of race, gender, all the things, but there's also diversity of thought, you know? So embracing, not just focusing on what we have different, but what we, that common goal, right? So we all want to take care of our children. We want to leave this world better than we found it, right? We want to leave it better for our children, right? So tapping into the things that we have in common as well is part of, you know, building those relationships that people can trust you and will listen to, because they could, because you see them, and that's just, you know, that's Maslow's hierarchy of needs in a nutshell.
Yeah, I totally agree. Is there anything that the board of directors can do to help in this? Like, are they, I imagine, and I'm, again, I like answering my own questions sometimes, but I'm kind of leading maybe the answer as well. But the idea of having, a diverse board so that you have, you know, more than one view, more than one perspective, I imagine that would be one benefit they could have. Do you see or do you normally advise or looking for certain board members to help BIPOC-led organizations?
So one challenge I see with the BIPOC-led organizations in developing and leveraging their board of directors is that, again, going back to that wearing many hats, the founder is self-funding, so not doing that strategic planning, a lot of the expectations isn't communicated to the board. Like, hey, you're on our board. We don't just need a warm body, right? We need a working board, and this is how you can contribute to the mission. So I do believe that the ball is dropped a lot in that onboarding of the board, because again, it's just that scarcity mindset again. It's just like, oh, I'm just glad somebody wants to be a part of the board, you know, but yeah, give them direction. What are they doing? What does it mean to be a part of this board of direction? What are your expectations? How can we measure that? What do you expect from me as the executive director, right? How can we know that we're meeting those goals, right? So again, that foundation is so important in communication, being able to communicate that. So that is one thing that I find is an area of improvement in the BIPOC-led nonprofit organizations. And that is also one of the things that we help with Collective Impact. We help put them in touch with individuals who do board training, that, and then internally we help them to create, using technology, right, those that onboarding process, so that everybody is on the same page and we're all moving toward the same direction.
So I'm curious, because I'm looking at the time as we're wrapping up, is there anything you'd like to add, anything that they can, and a BIPOC-led organization can do, or any other tips that you can offer for the listeners?
Well, for non-BIPOC, even the larger national nonprofit organizations, I do believe that there is an opportunity to create mentorship and partnering with the grassroots organizations. Like, okay, so to kind of mentor them on how this is run, not just figure it out on your own, right? So I do think that that is an area that national nonprofits can do, is to bring on smaller BIPOC nonprofit organizations as a mentor. Like, hey, we've got this funding from, you know, XYZ Foundation. We are going to allocate a percentage of this funding for you to either get staff development, to get technology, or to directly serve the community that we serve, because again, representation matters, right? So I do think that is an opportunity for larger organizations to assist. But again, that's going back to that abundant mindset, right? That there's enough to go around, and that the overarching goal is to solve this social issue in our community, right? However we do that, how many ever people that we bring along to do that, we're still all getting to that same end goal. And then that can help the BIPOC organizations when they do apply for funding. Hey, we worked with XYZ Foundation, and then they can have their metrics, they can have their number, they can have that proof that, hey, we had X amount of funds, this is what we did with it, this is how we grew it, you know what I mean? So that it's just a win-win situation. And then for the national organizations, again, that's also giving back in a different way, not directly through the clients, but serving communities that's also going to reach more people and more diverse people as well.
So Roshana, this has been awesome. I was hoping that you could share with our listeners some contact information, because I know this is just the beginning of a conversation that I'm sure you want to help with. So is there, you know, how can people get in touch with you if they have follow-up questions?
Oh, sure, Alex. So you can definitely connect with me on LinkedIn. My first name is Rashaunda. It's Rashaunda Williams. You can also follow us on Instagram. It's Collective Impact 419. And also our website is www.collective-impact.app.
And we'll make sure to put those links into the show notes. So, Rashaunda, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been very enlightening, and I thank you so much for all the work that you do.
Awesome. Thank you for all that you do with getting our voices out, Alex. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, that's it for today. I'm Alexander Lapa, and I hope you join me again in the next Agents of Nonprofit.